I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, that was quite a Sunday. Heck, that was quite a weekend. I hope you enjoyed it. And not just if you're a crazy sports fan, but if you are someone who enjoys having time to breathe. Woo! I do love Saturdays for sure. And so it was nice to take a little bit of a break from talking nonstop about sports. And yet you never get that far away from them during the month of October. And man, in 2020, it's really been an all-out blitz going back to the beginning of September, if not even earlier than that. And so, gosh, I'm furiously taking notes for the last 24 hours just to try to keep everything straight. And if I screw something up, just be kind. Do you remember when you used to have VCR tapes, for those of you who are old enough to remember VCR tapes, and they would have a sticker on them that said, "Be kind, rewind"? Well, you can be kind, but don't rewind when I make a mistake. Can that be our little deal? And I promise to entertain you as much as possible. Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you did have a good weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. The conversation has been ongoing. I'm not even sure I need to tell people where to find me on Twitter and Facebook, but I'll tell you anyway. A-Law Radio is where you can find me on Twitter, and then on our Facebook page, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and I've just noticed such an uptick in conversation and debate and discussion and a lot of trash talking too on our Facebook page as we get deeper into the football season. There was so much trash talking going on between Browns and Steelers fans and just about the Browns and Steelers. Man, that did not go the way that I expected. And I'm not talking about the team that won, just in general, how lopsided it was. We did have some lopsided affairs on Sunday, but we also had some incredible twists and turns that once again just suck you in if you're a football fan. Do you know every single week this season so far, we've had teams rally from at least 14 points down. It's just been that kind of a roller coaster ride. And the more adversity and uncertainty and the more of the schedule tweaks that get thrown into the mix, the more teams are going to have to rely on their leadership and their professionalism. And of course, they're going to have to rely upon their training and their coaching and the staff that's trying to prepare them, whether it's over Zoom when they can't practice or whether it's, you know, unconventional ways that they're traveling and when they're traveling. And so the NFL season is even crazier than usual, which is okay. It's good for business. And now Major League Baseball has entered into its final series. We're down to the final two. So let's talk World Series Baseball and then also Week 6 in the NFL. Coming up next hour, Kevin Harlan will join us from Dallas. So he was in New England for Patriots Broncos, and we'll get his thoughts on that game that took place earlier on Sunday. And then he hopped a quick flight to Dallas and will join us to talk about Cowboys Cardinals, but also what else he's seen. And he was part of the NBA bubble too. And so Kevin Harlan is really the jack of all trades and the master of all of them. And we will be excited to welcome him and all of his enthusiasm. He's got great pipes. So you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and then our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Before we get to the NFL, it seems appropriate because we had game sevens in both the American League Championship Series and the National League Championship Series. And even before I talk about Dodgers Braves, and then we'll hit Rays making the World Series as well during the show. But I got to tell you that these championship series really whet my appetite for the Fall Classic even more than usual. Sometimes when we get to mid-October and late October, there's a bit of sports fatigue for me. Doesn't mean I don't watch. Doesn't mean I don't keep up with everything that's going on. But just I feel like I'm worn out. But these two championship series were so tremendous with such great drama and so many twists and turns, pivots, so many moments that I can remember that the defense was so good and we had some awesome pitching performances. And then of course the dramatic runs scored. We had walk-offs. We had late inning lead changes. We also know celebrations are dangerous because Cody Bellinger had to pop his shoulder back into place. Ouch. He actually knocked his shoulder out in a celebration after one of his home runs. And so I really feel like these two championship series, after they appeared as though they were going to be over quickly in both the American League and the National League, we had the Rays up 3-0 against the Houston Astros, and they deserve all the credit in the world for not cheating and fighting back to force a game seven. And in the National League, it also appeared as though the Braves were going to make quick work of the top seed in the NL. And instead, the Dodgers not only fight back from a 3-1 hole, but they win it in game seven. And so the roller coaster ride, I know I use that metaphor a lot for sports. It's so true. The way that these series took you on this fantastic journey, jaw-dropping moments, again, moments that you'll remember that you could pick out even now, that actually lit a fire for what's to come in the Fall Classic. You've got the top two teams from the regular season, shortened, truncated as it was, but you've got a team that won 40 of its 60 games, and you have a team that won 43 of its 60 games. And over the course of seven-game championship series, these two teams proved they've got the goods. They've got the offense, they've got the defense, they've got the pitching. And boy, are they game for whatever you throw at them. And so I hope that you're looking forward to the Fall Classic as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of defense, there were a couple of huge moments in Game 7 of the NLCS. Man, the Atlanta Braves and probably their fans as well have to be looking back at what happened in the fourth inning. And so at this point, you had a 2-2 game. Actually, the Braves had taken the lead 3-2, and they've still got runners in scoring position and nobody out. And there's a massive base running blunder. Now, credit Justin Turner for the way that he played this. He ends up going home, or no, sorry, the throw from the infield comes home. He's able to track down the runner along the baseline. It was Dansby Swanson on the third baseline and kind of tag him on the heel and then turn and flip the ball behind him right back to third base where another Brave was coming in. And so they get this double play, but really it was Atlanta that ran into this double play, this base running blunder that it didn't completely erase the threat, but it was such a mess. And as much as the pitching for the Braves was constantly facing pressure from the Dodgers lineup, in fact, the Braves pitching staff had to erase multiple situations where there were runners in scoring position. In fact, I think it might have been in the fourth inning where they erased a bases loaded threat. And so you had the pitching trying to keep the Dodgers lineup at bay, but you cannot miss those opportunities in a game seven, not when you're facing a team that has so much experience and so many bats. And it did, in fact, come back to haunt the Atlanta Braves. And then you had the moment in the fifth inning that I could watch over and over from every angle. In fact, the MLB Twitter account put out this particular defensive gem from every camera angle that it had.
And now Freeman. The fly ball to right. Heading on back is Betts. He's at the wall. He leaps and he catches another one. He's robbed another one. He robs Freeman of a home run leaping over the yellow line. Mookie Betts is of another planet. My, oh my, what a play.
Oh, it was so good. And when you see the angle from above, they've got a camera angle in which you can see the eyes of Mookie Betts. And he's tracking that ball all the way to the wall to time his jump as though he's watching it play out in slow motion. It was amazing. Now, granted, we're seeing it in slow motion when you get the replay, but he had that ball tracked. He had that ball in his sights, and he timed the jump perfectly. Boy, he and Cody Bellinger were showing off, flashing the leather out there, and it was kind of fun the way that they were each cheering for one another and kind of egging each other on. So quite a tandem in the outfield for the Los Angeles Dodgers. So Mookie goes above the wall to catch yet another potential home run. This one off the bat of Freddie Freeman in the fifth inning. Charlie Steiner with the call on the Dodgers radio network. And then finally, you had the Dodgers do what they do. This is what they love to do. And the fact that these were solo shots is a credit to the Braves, but you can only hold the Dodgers' bats at bay for so long.
Minter on 2-2, the eighth pitch to Hernandez. There's a fly ball to left field. It's well hit. And Kike Hernandez with a pinch hit home run has just tied the score at 3. 2 balls, 2 strikes, 2 out. Martin's 23rd pitch, Bellinger with a fly ball to right field. Cody Bellinger has just given the Dodgers a 4-3 lead.
What? Those two home runs in not only cutting through the tension, but then creating even more tension because there were still outs to go. I mean, I watched them on TV. I listened to them on the radio. These are just the moments, the stuff that dreams are made of. And certainly you have the thrill of victory. You also have the agony of defeat. But even before we get to the post-game reaction, Cody Bellinger admits that his shoulder popped out while he's jumping around with his teammates following that seventh inning home run. So the training staff, he briefly ducked into the clubhouse. The training staff pops it back in and he goes out and finishes the game and in fact had to make a catch in the following half inning. So beware. We know there's certainly many examples where celebrations are dangerous. And even in these days of COVID and trying to keep your distance, I was glad to see the celebrations. I was glad to see the hugs. These guys are in a pseudo bubble. They're being tested all the time. They've gone through the ringer to get to this point. So I'm glad that they get to celebrate, but not to the point where, how? I mean, pops the shoulder out and then back in for the sake of a home run? That might be a bit extreme. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The Atlanta Braves have come so close multiple times, and they've had some recent heartache in these elimination games. So you go back to game number 5 against the Cardinals in the NL Division Series in 2019, and the Cardinals just jumping on top with the 10 runs in the first inning and how painful it was to have to watch that one all the way through. Well, this was a different case. And I know I've heard from some Braves fans who had this feeling of dread after they couldn't close it out when they're up 3-1. And then when the Dodgers rally on Friday night and they come up with those runs late in the game that they need to extend the series. And I can understand why the dread is there, because there's been such a track record in these winner-take-all games.
First pitch, fly ball, center field. Bellinger is there, and he's got it. And the Dodgers advance to the World Series for the third time In the past 4 years, the team with the best record in baseball all year long, 43-17, in first place since the 13th of August, are the champions of the National League.
We have a lot of work to do, but for the Dodger fans that are here, the ones that aren't here, we love you, we're thinking about you, and this year is our year. This is our year.
Dave Roberts getting really excited and also really emotional after the game. You hear that particular call on Fox Sports, and he was choked up talking about everything these guys have gone through. And I think we saw a lot of that same emotion in the NBA bubble. These guys have been away from their families, a lot of them choosing to live away from their families. Plus, they've been in Arlington now for a couple of weeks. And so to go through everything they've been through, it's so unconventional, and it requires a little extra from you personally, not just professionally. And so he got choked up, and the guys are really excited, obviously. And so congratulations to the Dodgers. Now, if you are thinking about Dodgers versus Braves, you know, even though Los Angeles has been in the World Series three of the last 4 years, they haven't won a World Series since 88. Braves have actually won more recently than the Dodgers. So they won in 95. And they went back in 99. And of course, you could talk about the Braves in the 90s and how they missed opportunities, and we go on and on. That's a different show. But the Braves actually have a more recent World Series than the Dodgers do. It's just that we've been inundated with the Dodgers for years now because of how good they've been, and yet they keep coming up empty. So the same way that Braves fans feel about getting so close and yet not getting over the hump and getting back to the World Series for the first time since 99. Well, Dodgers fans feel that because they've had the door slammed in their face. They've lost, you know, and so for them to get back and to have another opportunity is huge. But the Rays pitching staff and a group of, I don't want to say no name, but little known stars for the Rays, this is kind of like the little engine that could, and that, you know, that very teeny tiny payroll. My goodness, I feel like Mookie Betts might be making more money all by himself than what the Rays' entire payroll is. Not that he isn't worth it. But here we go. We've got the big bad Dodgers, the blue blood, so to speak, against the, as I say, the little engine that could in the Rays. And so I hope you're excited about the World Series. I actually am feeling a little more just kind of anticipation for it. It won't just be work. I'm excited about seeing these two teams match up. And so congratulations to both franchises. Corey Seager, by the way, had 5 home runs and 11 RBI, and he was named MVP of the NLCS. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Man, we got to dive into the football weekend, and we're not even done. We've got 2 more games coming up on Monday Night Football, so it's a Monday doubleheader. Kevin Harlan will join us about 45 minutes from now, so you can look forward to that. You can also weigh in on Facebook, what stands out from the weekend, and I'm really looking forward to hearing the hot takes, quote-unquote, from the Steelers-Browns game. So many of you finding me on social media around that game. Man, we had overtime in the AFC South. We had a collapse by the Cincinnati Bengals, but a huge rally for Phillip Rivers and the Colts. We had the return of Jimmy Garoppolo, and that's where we'll go next. The NFC West with a game that I thought was going to be more competitive than what we saw on Sunday Night Football.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Now they're going to move Debo in motion. They flip it to him again, trying to sweep right. Turns the corner. Touchdown! San Francisco! 4th and 2. Three receivers left in. Kittle right. They throw over the middle. It is caught by George Kittle. He'll race for a touchdown. 10-5. Touchdown! San Francisco! Here's Garoppolo going to look right and now going to throw. It is caught for a touchdown by Brandon Ayuk. Touchdown, San Francisco.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, I suppose that you could keep asking the questions about Jimmy Garoppolo, but judging by the gigantic grins that he was flashing on the field on Sunday night, I think he believes, and Kyle Shanahan and the Niners believe, that they have answered those questions. Now, they did lose Raheem Mostert again early in the second half, and of course the defense has lost major reinforcements or major pieces of that starting group, but they did get some pretty dynamic play from their defense to limit the Rams. And don't look now, but the San Francisco 49ers are back in the mix in that division. So they're still at the bottom. This is the part that's crazy. They're still at the bottom of the division, but at least they're now at 500 and only a half game back of the Cardinals, who are in Dallas coming up on Monday night. And Kevin Harlan will have that game on Westwood One. He's going to join us from Dallas just over a half hour from now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. What stands out about Sunday or the weekend? Some of you I know want to talk college football, Georgia and Alabama and the Tide pitching a shutout in the second half, some huge defensive plays and capitalizing against the Bulldogs to blow that score, that final score, completely wide open. And yes, Nick Saban was on the sidelines for that game. So we've got college football, we have Major League Baseball, two game sevens in the Final Four, and now we're on to the World Series. And then, of course, week six in the NFL that didn't kick off until Sunday because there was no Thursday night football. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Jimmy Garoppolo's three touchdown passes were all in the first half. And so the Niners were up 21-6, as you hear on the Niners radio network with Greg Papa. They scored on three of their first four drives. Meanwhile, the Rams barely could move the ball in the first half, barely over 100 yards. And the majority of those yards came on one drive. And then you had Jason Verrett, who spent a lot of the last 3 years injured, an interception of Jared Goff in the end zone. And really every time the Rams would attempt to come up with a spark offensively, it would be snuffed out quickly. I was stunned by the way that the Rams were unable to move the football, especially considering what the Miami Dolphins did last week against that Niners defense. So sometimes it's about matchups. Sometimes it's about waking up on the wrong side of the freaking bed. But here's something else that you should consider when looking at the Rams. I do believe they played well, and I do believe that they are a legit contender again, especially in a difficult division. But you know that they played the NFC East. In fact, they have played every team in the NFC East. They've got four wins. Those four wins have come against the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Giants, and the Washington football team. And of course, none of those teams in the NFC East have winning records. They lost to the Bills. Remember that crazy comeback that they had in Western New York? They lost in Bills territory by 3 points, and now they've lost their first game in their own division by a touchdown. So Goff does throw a 40-yard touchdown late to Josh Reynolds, but San Francisco, and this I thought was just as important as their racing out to a big lead in the first half, San Francisco is able to pick up a couple of first downs and run the clock out and not give the ball back to Goff and the Rams before the game was over. And the Niners really dominated time of possession, and this is without Mostert, their lead back, but they were able to keep the ball, possess the ball for 38 minutes to just 22 for Los Angeles. Garoppolo, 268 yards, three touchdowns. And here's something else that I thought was really interesting against the Rams D. You know how much Aaron Donald can be a sack master, but just in general, how much that defensive line for the Rams likes to put pressure on the QB. But because Garoppolo and because the offense was designed to get the ball out quickly, by the time they got to him, the ball was gone. And so it was a perfect game plan to counter what the Rams do along that front seven. And then you had George Kittle with a huge performance as well. And if he's healthy and Jimmy G is healthy, this offense looks a whole lot different. We'll see about Raheem Mostert, but Kittle with 109 yards and a touchdown. And so for them to be able to get this confidence boost, especially after what happened last week, this was huge for the Niners with so many of their games in the NFC West ahead of them.
I think when you get embarrassed like we did last week, and when you get embarrassed like that, you can find out a lot about your team. And, you know, we came in Monday and it was a hard day, but usually when stuff like that happens, you know, guys either give in and because it gets too hard, and they try to hide and point fingers a little bit and just go through the motions, or guys try to step it up and get better.
When you can go run the ball, it gives your O-line confidence. It gives your tight ends confidence, your fullback confidence, your running backs confidence. And then our wide receivers do a hell of a job blocking downfield. And so when you can, you know, put good plays together and all 11 guys are blocking and all 11 guys are doing their job, it just gives your whole offense confidence.
I like how he says that, your whole offense confidence. I mean, that's something I would say. So Kittle and I have that in common. Let's see. Let's talk about this NFC West. The Seattle Seahawks are 5-0. Of course, they are one of the only undefeated teams remaining. Do you know there are just three unbeatens now in the NFL? The Steelers, the Titans, and the Seahawks atop that NFC West. But you also have the Rams still in second place at 4-2. And as I mentioned, the Cardinals play on Monday night. And then the 49ers are bringing up the rear. They're the caboose, but they are back to 500. In the AFC is where the other two unbeatens reside, as well as the only winless team left. How about the Jets getting shut out by the Miami Dolphins? And so New York falls to 0-6. I would imagine that at some point we need to hear from the Jets front office as opposed to reports and rumors and here's what's happening behind the scenes. Somebody in that freaking front office has got to come out and say something. Either support Adam Gase and watch the ship sink all season, or make a change, because after the Texans and the Falcons bit the bullet, it's not like they're going on to challenge for a Super Bowl. I don't think. I could be proven wrong. But at least they are rallying with the new leadership and a new coach. Just something fresh, a change sometimes, as much as it can be drastic and it can be difficult in the middle of a season, it can also produce new life and new energy. And the Jets don't have any life or any energy. So they are the only team that has yet to win in the NFL, and we're down to three who have yet to lose. I'm excited to see the Chiefs and the Bills coming up on Monday night. That's between a pair of 4-1 teams, and of course, they're both just fresh off their first losses of the season, and then we've got Arizona and Dallas, and both those teams kind of right in the middle of the pack. I like to describe the NFL as pear-shaped, so it's thick around the middle. And this season, it feels like it's so topsy-turvy. And I know we're not even through week number 6, and so much can happen between now and the end of the regular season. Heck, I'm just happy when we get through a weekend and we've got these games lined up and ready to go, considering that every day it feels like there are more headlines about COVID. But the NFL is navigating, the teams are navigating, and so we keep going. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. So coming up, we'll talk Brady and Rodgers on the same field, but not in the same plane on Sunday. And you also had a lopsided affair in the AFC North, and Browns fans, I'm wondering, does this temper your enthusiasm? This was a huge game inside the division, and the last time that they got clobbered was also inside the division. So Ravens and Steelers have both manhandled the Browns. I'm not saying that that's the end of their run. Let's not be melodramatic about it. But does it temper your enthusiasm some that two losses, and we're talking about not just lopsided affairs, but major beatdowns? What did Baker Mayfield say early in the year? We got punched in the mouth. Well, they got punched in the mouth again, and it's by the Ravens and the Steelers. So what does this mean? How do you react? I've already seen the Baker Mayfield's not a franchise quarterback tweet, so you know.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Jamal Williams in the backfield. Rodgers takes the snap, 3rd and 10, drops, pressure coming against the pass. It's intercepted, picked off down the sideline, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown Tampa Bay! Touchdown Buccaneers, Jamal Dean! First turnover of the season by the Pack, and it's a pick six.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
That was the turning point of the Buccaneers and the Packers in Tampa, where so much was made of the temperatures. And as someone who had to turn my heat on for the first time this weekend, it got down to 58 degrees inside my house. It was near freezing temperatures outside on Saturday night. And so when I woke up Sunday morning, it was below 60 in my house, and I had to turn the heat on for just a little bit to warm it up. And then there are the announcers, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on Fox, talking about how it's near 90 degrees in Tampa. Huh. That would, I love four seasons, so that would be a bit much, and how they thought it might affect the game. But it didn't seem to, because the Green Bay Packers jumped on top with a 10-0 lead. They had an opening quarter that featured an Aaron Jones touchdown and Devontae Adams getting the ball. And Aaron Rodgers is all smiles. He is all smiles. He's walking around, strutting his stuff, some kind of touchdown dance that looked like Von Miller. I don't really know what it was supposed to be, but he was all about flexing in the end zone until Jamel Dean jumps a route and scores the first interception off Green Bay this season. So it took into the fifth game, and it's also a pick six. How about this for a nerd alert, even before we get back to the game? Do you know that Aaron Rodgers has only thrown three pick sixes in his entire career? That's pretty impressive. But this was the third pick six, and it was perfect timing and a great play by Dean. You hear it with Gene Deckerhoff on the Buccaneers Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So that pick six makes it 10-7, and then it's off to the races. That was the turning point. The next drive, another interception, another quick touchdown, not a pick six, but Ronald Jones. And so the Bucs get two scores in under 2 minutes, and they never look back. By the time they got to half, it was 28-10. It was 38-10 when this game was over, and it really was a beat down. So Tom Brady and Ronald Jones have two touchdowns each, and let's be honest, it's been inconsistent for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and their offense. Now, the defense has played pretty well. The offense has had some games in which they've struggled, or at least struggled to find some rhythm and flow and play a full 60 minutes. At times they look great. At times you've got Tom Brady throwing pick sixes or them being unable to sustain drives. But if they can run the ball the way they did against the Packers, they had 158 yards rushing, and Brady didn't have to throw until his arm fell off. Had a couple of touchdowns, as I mentioned. One of those to Rob Gronkowski, which is fun because it was his first touchdown since, I think I saw week 14 of 2018. So it's been a while for Gronkowski, and it was nice to see that smile and the spike, though he did not deflate the football. And it was the defense of the Buccaneers, the pressure, the tempo. Five total sacks of the Green Bay QB. So Tim Boyle came in late for Rodgers. 13 other QB hits. And the Buccaneers, who have the mini bye after the loss in Chicago, now come back and hand the Packers their first loss of the season. But since Aaron Rodgers is all about the Zen, he, after the game, was talking about this being a learning experience.
Look, you don't ever want to lose like this. I feel like we needed a little bit of a wake-up call at some point this season because things have been so good. This is, I believe, an anomaly, not the beginning of a trend. And we got a chance to prove me right next week.
I think it's a big part of every team's success is not turning the ball over and then not committing penalties, which put you behind down and distance and take you out of your runs and your play actions. And, you know, all those hurt.
So the Buccaneers take advantage of a pair of Packers interceptions, a pair of turnovers, and they're able to go 4-for-4 in the red zone. And as Brady mentions, in this game, believe it or not, no flags, none. So they've had multiple games in which they've had at least 10 flags and over 100 penalty yards. But in this one, they played a clean game, and both Brady And Bruce Arians mentioned this after the game. And the Buccaneers, by the way, are 3-0 in that heat at home. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Love to hear from you. Are you excited about the World Series, or is it just me? I feel like I'm more excited now than what I was. I was thinking about it more of a, okay, it's part of October, the March through October, but I'm actually pretty geeked up about it considering what we saw in the championship series. And also, there will be days off. So it's not seven, well, if they need seven, not seven consecutive days. They start on Tuesday and Wednesday with games 1 and 2 at Globe Life Field in Arlington. It was really cool, and I mean floats my boat cool, to hear actual fans making noise. That was fun. And for whatever reason, it was a pro-Dodgers crowd. I guess Dodgers fans made the trip, or they just happened to be on the Dodgers bandwagon regardless. But it definitely did seem like the Dodgers had a lot more vocal presence there at Globe Life. And so the tickets for the World Series are sold out, roughly 11,000 fans. And I'm excited just because of what we've seen from these two teams who've been the best in baseball all year. And then what stands out from week 6 in the NFL? CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS, and it's sponsored by Geico. Do you want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. I'm wondering if the Dallas offense will be scary with Andy Dalton. I don't think so. I mean, he's a luxury. Most teams do not have a backup quarterback with his experience, but also his success. He's had great success over the course of his career. Just happened that he was mired in Cincinnati, but they did get to the playoffs multiple times when he and Marvin Lewis were working together. And it's a luxury to be able to go to him as opposed to going to a guy who has very few snaps and not the experience of being able to read defenses and knowing what's coming at him. So I'm looking forward to that game, and we'll check in with Kevin Harlan, who's in Dallas after calling the Patriots-Broncos game at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. He hopped a flight to Dallas, and he's going to hop on the show come top of the hour. It's After Hours on Facebook, and also our show Twitter is After Hours CBS. So a little bit about this AFC North game between the Steelers and the Browns. I think partly that it would be a little more competitive because I felt like the Browns had turned the corner since that loss to the Ravens to start out the season. Remember, they lost by 32 points to the Baltimore Ravens. But I thought, okay, you know what? Kevin Stefanski, new coach, new system, no preseason, no OTAs, a lot of moving parts. It's understandable. We're going to get some stinkers like that after the atypical offseason and preseason. And then the Browns rattled off 4 wins in a row, and they were tied with Pittsburgh and Baltimore for same number of wins. And so I was psyched about this game between the Browns and the Steelers at Heinz Field. Steelers defense has been playing extremely well, and right off the top, that Steelers defense set the tone.
Browns trail 3-0, 3rd and 3 from their 28. Mayfield shotgun snap, throws over the middle, intercepted. It is Minka Fitzpatrick, 25, 20, 15, 10, touchdown, Minka. People have been asking, where's Minka Fitzpatrick? Baker Mayfield just found out.
Bill Hillgrove in his bathroom. No, he's not in his bathroom. Oh, gosh. Some of our audio is just bad tonight, so I ask your forgiveness for that. I apologize. I'm not sure what's going on with our equipment or our tech. So Minka Fitzpatrick, it wasn't in a bathroom. It was there at Heinz Field with a pick 6. And that really not only fired up that defense, but right away put the Browns behind the 8-ball. In fact, in the first half, there were 14 Steelers points off turnovers, and Pittsburgh really dominated. And while we have seen the Browns use the run game to kind of steady themselves and to bully their opponents and to control the ball as well, even without Nick Chubb, he wasn't playing in this game still. They weren't able to get a whole lot going. Now, they were behind, and so, of course, they're going to try to throw the ball more. But they never were able to establish the run. And that was huge. And Mike Tomlin was talking about it afterwards, how he felt like that was their number one priority, was to stop the run and to be able to send a message to the Browns that they weren't going to find running lanes and that they were going to run headlong into a physical, tough Steelers D. Meanwhile, Pittsburgh is able to run the ball. 101 yards for James Conner, a touchdown for him. He was really fired up, so it took some of the pressure off Ben Roethlisberger, who only misses 8 passes all game, but really doesn't have to throw nearly as many. And it's kind of nice, a luxury for an older QB, where your run game and your defense set the tone.
Whenever you can jump out to a lead, with a defense especially like we have, it just gives you a little bit of breathing room. We knew this is a really good defense that we were facing coming in. So when you can kind of get to that point and get a lead on them, that helps because they're a team that has played with the lead a lot this year.
There were a couple of phrases that I heard from the Steelers following this game. We don't have the audio, but at some point you'll probably hear it or maybe you've seen it out there. Cam Hayward used the term good punishment. Now, he clarified on social media that they weren't trying to hurt Baker Mayfield or go after his ribs, but that they always, as a defense, want to punish the opposing offense. It makes them think twice. Of course, you want to be physical within the rules. And so Cam said, I wasn't saying that we were trying to hurt Baker, only that we were trying to level some good punishment. And so that was one phrase that jumped out. And then Mike Tomlin also said, this is varsity ball. He called it varsity ball. And I wish we had that. I listened through to some of Mike Tomlin's because he's such a unique personality. He's always so fired up and has such great vocabulary to talk about football that I'm envious. So varsity ball is what he called it. Good punishment is what Cam Hayward called it. And now the Steelers are 5-0 for the second time in their franchise history. Meanwhile, for Baker Mayfield, he gets pulled from this game. And so it's a similar situation to what we saw with the Niners a week ago. Jimmy Garoppolo should not have been on the field against the Miami Dolphins. He was hobbled. He wasn't throwing the way that he normally does. He needed an extra week for his ankle. Well, Baker had been limited in practice, and they said he was going to play through the pain, but it wasn't the Baker Mayfield that they needed him to be. They needed him to be Baker and then some, fired up Baker, and he got sacked and he got roughed up and he threw those 2 picks in the first half and got replaced by Case Keenum later in the game, which really fired up social media, but I think it was more about protecting Baker as opposed to him being benched, so to speak. All right, that's 1 hour down. Kevin Harlan will join us from Dallas coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.